charge!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the very first Epic Guides podcast coming to you from epicguides.net. This podcast is going to be about World of Warcraft specifically now, but I'd like to branch off into other alternate realities and fantasy worlds in the future. So that's why we're going by Epic Guides instead of, you know, World of Warcraft something. I actually thought about for a little while trying to come up with a clever way to put World of Warcraft and podcast together like so many of the other famous podcasts out there right now. I couldn't think of anything that wasn't already taken. I'm fairly unoriginal. This podcast is really a guide to lives in alternate realities. Fantasy games specifically, massive multiplayer online games directly, starting with World of Warcraft, which is pretty much the game I play exclusively right now. But I don't want to totally niche myself into WoW, because I have recently picked up DDO, Dungeons & Dragons Online, and I've played through that a little bit. It hasn't been able to yet pull me out of my fantasy worlds of World of Warcraft or my characters therein. But it may in the future, and I will definitely be talking about it when something comes up that I feel like I'd like to talk about. This show is the introduction show, so I'm going to start out by telling you a little bit about myself. The featured segment this week is going to be on tanking. After that, I'm going to have the real-life thought of the week, and we're going to close out with something a little different. And I hope you enjoy it. I gotta admit that I'm an alt junkie. I am no veteran. I've been playing for a year. I don't have any level 60s. I gotta start out with that because I know you're wanting to know. The podcast is worth listening to if it has level 60s. It's not worth listening to if he doesn't have level 60s, and he can't tell us anything if he doesn't have level 60s. And that may be true. You know, if you're a level 60 person and you're looking for raid content, podcasts, and things like that, then I suggest you go to a different podcast. I'll list some good ones at the end of the show for you to go to, but that's not me. I'm an alt junkie. If you want me to ask me who is my main, I don't have a main. I don't know any of my mains. The reason I'm going by Joey in this show and not by one of my aliases is because I don't have a main alias. I don't have anyone I want to pick. So I started out in a PvE server, and I know this is confusing, but I started in a PvE server as a rogue because I wanted to do PvP, but I didn't want to get ganked. So I started a rogue in Dalaran, as I'm going to pronounce it. Just put this out, any pronunciations that I say during the show, I'm sure about 80% of my pronunciations are going to be wrong, so just, you know, stick with me on that. But Dalaran server, PvE, I had myself a rogue, and I got up to about 35, I think, maybe a little higher than that. And I was in Hillsbred, and I couldn't get anybody to PvE with me. This was before Battlegrounds and things like that. And I wanted to do my PvE or PvP, and I couldn't find anybody to fight. No one was ever flagged. I could never sneak up anybody and, you know, cheap shot them or backstab them or do whatever I wanted, ambush, do whatever I wanted to do. So I figured, hey, I love my rogue. I want to do some PvP. I'm going to go to Frost main server. So that's what I did. I got my second rogue up to the mid-30s again, and I'm on the PvP server. And I had some fun up in Hillsbred and wherever I could find some fighting, I did that. And the PvP was pretty good. I enjoyed it, but I was beginning to get to where I really... I wasn't an MMO, after all. And when you're a massive multiplayer, the only thing you can do is kill them to a certain extent, and then you want to try something different. At least that was my thing. My main thing is, if I'm going to be playing with other people, then I want to beat them down. I guess it's because I came from an Unreal Tournament type of background where there's no teams. There's only death and destruction for others. But I decided that I still wanted to start grouping more, and I was really into the grouping. And as a rogue, you have an important role, but on a PvP server, there's rogues out the wazoo, so it was very hard to get a group. And I was beginning to get more interested in the strategies of grouping and the heart of grouping, which is really the core, is really the tank and the healer. And then the damage dealers come after that, which is a rogue technically. But like I said, that was packed with the rogues. I couldn't get any groups. So I decided to start on the Frostmane there, the PvP server, I decided to start a warrior and a priest to level them both up at the same time, and that way if I was, you know, somewhere where I needed to get a group and there was no priest around, then I could jump in as a priest or I could jump in as a warrior and I had some versatility. And so that's what I did for a long time, and I'm still having a lot of fun with these two characters. and they've been very enjoyable. And a lot of what I'm going to talk about is a strategy guide for this Epic Guides is going to be grouping. I've been enjoying Battlegrounds a lot lately as well. I know I just said grouping and then killing others, not compatible, but apparently you can group and kill others, which is tons of fun. And that's in the Battlegrounds. And I was, my warrior that I had created, I was in the Battlegrounds, and I was doing okay. But I was about the middle, every time I was in the Battleground, I was about in the middle of the kill count, and I could really never complete any of the objectives that I was there for as the warrior. I was doing the Capture the Flag, which I believe was Warsong Gulch. And I really could never get the flag. I could stop people from getting the flag with my charge and, you know, beat the Padukey out of people. But I realized that I was running by this one spot on a few games that I was playing, and I kept getting dotted by, high-level Warlock. And I'd never played a Warlock seriously at that point. And I kept getting dotted by this Warlock, and I saw that this Warlock was at the top of the kill count every game. So I went back myself, and I started my own Warlock. And I've gotten that up into the 20s now, and I've been having a lot of fun with the Warlock. I think I can dot like a bejesus. He's got the fun pets. He's got it all going for him. And that's pretty much where I'm at now. Also, while I've been playing World of Warcraft, I've started listening to podcasts. And that's really why I'm doing this right now. Is that there's a lot of podcasts I really love listening to. Taverncast is a big one. Wildcast, Warcast, The Instance, The MMO Show. I'm sure I'm missing a few, but my iPod is filled with those bad boys, and I really like them, and I always am looking for more. And I decided, heck, why not? Why won't I do some? One of the reasons that I don't have any high-level characters is because a lot of my fun that I have with the game is outside of the game, and things like this, listening to podcasts, talking on forums. And a big one is I have a website, epicguides.net, now is a brand new website. It'll be up while you're listening to this, I'm sure. And I have made a flash guide a while back, and I had submitted it to Taverncast on their forums, and they had given me a lot of help there. And then I submitted it to Blizzard, and they put it up on their website, and I had over 100,000 people come visit it, and I had all kinds of great feedback on the guide, the flash guide. And it was something I had just done over a few days that I had started one day when the servers were down for maintenance and just finished off in the next few days. And I had a lot of fun with that and got a lot of great feedback, so I've started a more serious one. And that is epicguides.net, and I'd love you to check that out. It's got a few sections there. One is over level 20s, what all the characters look like, all the classes look like at level 20. Again, I'm an Alliance guy, so it's an Alliance guide mainly. There's no chamois on there yet, though I am willing, if anyone's going to want to call in, I am willing to put a chamois on there if you're willing to give me the chamois info and maybe take a few pics of your chamois for me. And I'm going to go with the pronunciation of chamois on that as opposed to shaman or shaman. Or Shamoon, or Shamu, or whatever y'all want to go with. I'm going to go with Shammy. And so that's a level 20 section. There's also a grouping guide on there that just goes over the formations, the strategies. What's a tank? What's a healer? What's a, you know, main assist, damage dealers, ranged? What kind of classes should you put in your support from fifth slots and things like that for the main groups? What do you need to do before you group up? What do you need to do while you're grouped up? Yeah. Lots of good stuff, lots of good stuff. And then I am right now still working on a guide through the Dead Mines, which is really the first great Alliance instance, and my favorite instance so far. I cannot get past Mr. Smite when he comes out there. That's just tons of fun. I love when he yells and freezes you and stuns you, and that's lots of fun. So that about wraps up my gaming experience where I'm at now. Everybody check out the website, and we're going to head on to the next segment. The tank. What is a tank? What is a tank not? Who is a tank? Why do you tank? To the brass tacks. When I think tank, I think meat shield. I think tank is a meat shield. And that's true. Tank, simple, easy definition is if you're going to be a tank, you're going to be a meat shield. Now, when I say meat shield, does that evoke damage dealing to you? It doesn't to me. When I think meat shield, I don't think, I hope a meat shield does not attack me. Because it may hurt my skin and my organs. No, tanks take damage, they do not do damage. I know historically, tanks and fighters, they're the ones that go out and do all the serious bashing and the thrashing. In World of Warcraft, they have a much more niche role. I think a more complicated, and in my opinion, it's a little more fun and a little more involving, because you've got these strategies to be the meat shield. It's not easy, the meat shield. It's not easy like you think it is. Because if you just stand there and hope that you're being a meat shield for your group, have them line up behind you, the mobs, they're just going to run around you and start attacking your squishies. Your squishies being the cloth wearers and to some extent the leather wearers. So you gotta be on your guard. You gotta be here, you gotta be there, you gotta be striking your enemies, you gotta be drawing their attention. And that's what it comes down to. Being a good tank in World of Warcraft is all about getting the bad guy's attention, getting your enemy's attention. We're gonna call them mobs. Mobile units, masses of bacon, mobile enemies. You've gotta, as the meat shield, as a tank, you've gotta get their attention. This is what a great tank does. He goes down to the front of the party. He draws a mob to him. The mob attacks him, and that mob totally ignores the rest of the group. The mob's not running at your cloth wearers, your squishies, your priest. He's not attacking the rogue standing next to the warrior. All that mob is doing is saying, this warrior is pissing me off, and I'm going to keep hitting him. Meanwhile, the warrior is thinking, I've got more armor than God. I can't hit this. I'm not doing any damage, but I don't need to, because this guy is pissed off at me, and he's not hurting me. And if he does by some strange chance do any damage to me, then I got a priest standing about 15 feet behind me, and that priest is healing me, and I got no issues. So this is the perfect tank. Legendary tanks. If you got five mobs on you, somehow this freaking tank is spinning and wheeling and dealing and cutting into this guy and sundering armor in this guy and taunting that guy, and he's keeping, you know, two, three, four, five mobs on him. So where the rest of the group is just doing that, the rest of the group is mob free. They're clean and spotless and shiny, and you know, they're having no problems. They're throwing their fireballs and doing their backstabs, casting their heals, directing their pets, shooting their arrows with no damage being done to them. Meanwhile, the priest, being a good tank, always has to do with your priest. You always got to watch your priest, your healer. Being a good tank, your priest only has to heal you, only has to heal the tank. He doesn't have to worry about the other characters. He doesn't have to be watching everybody else's life and being stressed out and see what's going on and saving a warlock at the last instant. The priest is only thinking, okay, my tank is got it. And the priest he's got plenty of mana, the priest, because the tank has plenty of armor, so the priest doesn't need to heal him that often. And the whole party's doing good. You got a priest that has plenty of mana. He's only having to heal one guy. That one guy is keeping all the mobs. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Of course, this is very, very hard to do, because when you have four mobs, then the shiitake has hit the fan already, and you've got some serious issues, because your whole goal is to draw one, maybe two at a time. In most instances, especially on these low-level instances that I'm going to be talking about, you're looking at one or two mobs tops. And if you're getting more than one or two mobs, then you've already got a problem. So that's your legendary tank. You've also got your craptacular tank, which is, unfortunately, much easier to find if you're in pickup groups. You get craptacular tanks coming out of the woodwork at you. I see these all the time. This is a craptacular tank. Is one that isn't worried about keeping the mobs, isn't worried about keeping one mob. And basically, a craptacular tank comes all the way down to not giving a flip about the rest of the party or the priest or anything. The craptacular tank isn't a meat shield. He thinks he's the damage dealer. He wants to go out and kill him some bad guys. It doesn't matter if the rest of the party lives or dies. He's going to kill him, the bad guy, and that's for dang sure. So he's normally not in defensive stance. He's got his battle stance. He's charging into a room full of mobs and hitting that guy in the dang freaking center, smacking this guy over and over again. And meanwhile, tons of mobs are coming off the walls. Elites are walking down the hallway and seeing this brawl going on, and they're coming in on top of everybody. And you got this mosh pit of destruction and mayhem that ends in a wipe almost every time. When I'm the healer, I hate it beyond all other things that I could possibly hate. When I've got the tank that's not being a meat shield, he thinks he's being the hero, and he's causing me pain. And this is why he's causing me pain. Then this is why I say that the tank is basically how good a tank you are depends on how good a healer thinks you are. It's because if you're just running out there in the middle of everywhere and drawing all these mobs, then I'm, as a healer, I'm worried about healing everybody. I've got to keep you healed, because you're not doing the right thing. If you're not in defensive stance, you don't have a shield, it's already harder on me to begin with. And then on top of that, there's mobs running at the you know, your melee damage next to you, your rogue. There's mobs running at me that I've got to shield off and fade, or whatever it is that I can do to get away from that mob. There's mobs going after the warlock or the mage, and I've got to worry about those guys healing. And all of a sudden, I'm out of mana. Meanwhile, while I'm out of mana, you, Mr. Tanky Pants, is running at another mob, charging in and fighting this other guy. And I'm screaming out of mana, out of mana, out of mana, and you're running at another mob. And then you die. And what do I get from you? I get a, how come you didn't heal me? Why'd you let me die? And, you know, as a healer, I don't like this. I was in the, I'm just going to throw this out here. I was in an instance a couple of months ago. This is one of the most frustrating things that ever happened to me. I was the healer. The tank was a little higher level than the rest of the group. So he thought he was, you know, Buddy Badass, and he was charging in, like I say, being the craptacular tank. And I was healing him. I was, to my dying breath, I was healing this guy, keeping him alive. He still wiped once. The whole party wiped once. But we ended up getting all the way to VC. And this guy, I died like 5 or 6 times because he could not keep the mobs off of me. He couldn't keep the mobs in the right area. He was drawing whole rooms full of mobs. And, you know, I was healing him and healing the rest of the group. And I was dying myself along with most of the other people. He was staying alive basically because I was healing him and because he was such a higher level than everybody else. I kept trying to call him on it. At the end of the instance, he finally says to me, "Well, how many times have you died? How many times have I died? So I must know what I'm doing." You know, just because you stay alive doesn't mean you know what you're doing, because staying alive may not be your job. Sometimes your job may be to die. Sometimes your job may be to do the right thing for the rest of the group. And that's why I say that grouping is never like soloing. Because when you solo Mr. Tanky Poo, you know, maybe your job is to, you know, carry your huge, massive two-handed sword and delve into the enemy and be the King Slayer, Orc Slayer, Human Slayer. But when you're in a group, you got the meat shield, and you got to be the meat shield. So now I'm going to go on to how I do it, and I've already, you know, glanced off a couple of these topics, but how do you be a good tank? Well, I mean, what are the mechanics of it? Let's dive in. Let's go. Let's get there. First off, a tank has a high AC point. So go to the AH, you know, fish around, go on Thoughtbot, see what kind of quests you can get to get yourself some good armor. If you got the blacksmithing skill, make yourself some good stuff. Normally, questing's a better way to go. Try to have the best armor you can have for your class. If you're a 25 level tank and you've got, you know, 13 armor that you had for the last, you know, 10 levels, then you need to think about upgrading that bad boy and putting on something new. Also, repair before you get into the instance, because nothing's worse than taking all that damage the whole time doing your tanking business and then going all red halfway through and having to go back out and repair. The right equipment's also going to include, because you're the meat shield, one of your jobs is having the highest AC you can possibly have, the highest armor count you can possibly have. It means you got to have a shield. Get yourself a big, bad shield and equip that bad boy. Since you got a shield, you can't use your two-handed mace of death. You got to get yourself a good sword or whatever your preferred weapon is. Get yourself a one-handed weapon and a shield and be ready for everything. The next thing is you got to be in defensive stance. This cuts back on your charge. And if you're good enough and you're experienced enough, you can do the stance dance where you can charge in and switch to defensive and go here and go there and do whatever you got to do for the situation. But I recommend for beginners and even advanced, I don't stance dance myself. I just stay in defensive the whole time, and I think it's the best way to go. And this is why defensive stance, you got some serious benefits from defensive stance. One is you've got a higher armor count already. Your armor goes up. In defensive stance, you draw more threat. So not only can you handle more, you're calling more, which is great for the group. And you do have a little less damage output, but it really doesn't matter because now the rest of your party is going to stay alive longer and they're going to have less to deal with and they're going to be doing more damage to take up that slack. On top of that, you've got some moves that you didn't have, like taunt is one, of course, everyone knows. And you got all that from defensive stance. So you got to be ready and willing to do the right thing, which is different than what you may be used to. And I know a lot of warriors, to be honest, when you're in a low-level group in a low-level dungeon or a low-level instance, you may get past just playing the same way that you normally play. It may work for you. But when you get up there in levels, when you get higher, it's no longer going to work. So you might as well start practicing now when you're low and while people can stand you making mistakes as opposed to figuring out how to do the right thing later on when people are going to get pissed off at you. And this is how the fight starts. You're going down the hallway. You see a mob. You gotta have a ranged weapon. If you gotta go buy the skill in the city, make sure you get the skill. You gotta have a gun or a crossbow, something you can shoot long distance with if you're the tank. Sometimes you won't be pulling, it's true, but you should always. I always prefer to pull. I ask to pull. Even if I've got a hunter in my group, I go ahead and let the hunter mark, but I like to pull. Why do I like to pull? It's because, like I said, your job is to keep the aggro, is to get the mob focused on you, and it's best to do that right from the gate. Right from the gate, if you shoot the mob's already thinking about you. You don't have to worry about trying to overcome threat that the hunter is already, you know, driven up. You don't have to worry about threat from somebody else. You've got to be pulling. So you got your gun. Maybe the hunter marks it, but you're ready. You pull the thing, and it comes to you. So you've pulled the mob to you. The mob's on you. You shot it. It's focused on you already. Now what do? You're going to have mages blowing up, you know, nukes at you. You're going to have the rogue backstabbing this thing. You're going to have everybody and their mama hitting this bad boy. How do you keep its attention? Taunt is not the answer. It's not taunt. Let me tell you what taunt does right off the bat, because everybody knows taunt. I'm going to get it out of the way. Taunt does not generate any threat. It does not generate any aggro. All the taunt does is give you 6 seconds of that mob focusing on you. That's it, 6 seconds. And now during that 6 seconds, you can raise your own threat, but taunt itself isn't going to do it. Because if you don't raise your own threat, when those 6 seconds are over, the mob's going to run away from you to whoever is actually generating more threat than you are. So taunt doesn't do it. And then after those 6 seconds, you've got a cooldown. The cooldown on this bad boy is 15 seconds. So you can't be spamming taunt all the time. You've got to, you know, because that thing's going to get away from you every 6 seconds. It's going to be gone. So what do? That's the question. Now I'm going to start with revenge. I know a lot of people are thinking Sunder Armor is the best tool that know about this stuff, but revenge is your ultimate aggro tool. Revenge generates huge amounts of threat. Now every time the revenge pops up, you press it. There's no thinking about it. There's no dilly-dallying, no shilly-shallying. You press the bad boy. If revenge comes up, you pop it, and you get serious amounts of threat. You get serious amounts of aggro. You get a seriously happy party. Now, if revenge doesn't pop up, you know, it's on a time delay as well, then you got your Sunder Armor. Sunder Armor, you can stack that bad boy 5 times. And not only is it stacking, but it's every time you hit it, you're poking holes in this guy's armor. So that rogue next to you is doing even more and more damage, and they're getting their job done even better. Now, if you've stacked the Sunder Armor 5 times, your revenge isn't popped up, then you have Heroic Strike. You know, that's your damage-dealing thing. It generates threat. It does some damage. And if your 2 best moves are gone, then that's up there. The other thing you got around this time is, since you have your shield, you have Shield Bash. And Shield Bash doesn't generate that much threat. Not really that much threat, but it does have a low rage cost, so it's a good ratio. And so if you hit your Shield Bash, you're revenging every time those come up, you got your Sunder Armor that you've pretty much spammed out the Sunder Armor. Then after that, you got your Heroic Strike. Now you've got your taunt again, and earlier I said that the taunt, I made it sound pretty useless with the 6 seconds and 15 seconds. Taunt isn't useless. Like I said, if you save it, if there's a situation where a mob does get away from you and he goes for your healer, you taunt it, and you get 6 seconds of freedom right there where you can make something happen. Also, when you're taunting, the mob is focused on you, so that generates more rage, and it maybe gives you another chance to revenge. So normally you can keep hold of mobs until this is done. And since you don't have to try to kill mobs, this is another thing. As a meat shield, since you're not killing mobs, what you do is you Sunder Armor, you revenge, and if that thing's focusing on you, if there's a second mob around, if you've pulled 2 on accident or if you've gotten an ad, then you just forget about it. Don't worry about killing that mob. Don't stand that mob. Go to another mob. And you can just swim around taunting for revenge, for Sunder Armor, for Heroic Strike. Get all the mobs. All the mobs should be focused on you. Don't let any of them get away. Don't get the horse blinders to where you're focused on this one mob and you're going to take it out. Let the rogue do that. Let your damage classes do that. They can focus on that guy. All you have to do is make sure that guy's focused on you. You don't focus on that guy. And then you'll be free. If you can hold on to the aggro, then you got to trust your party to do the rest. You got to trust your party to take the mobs out, and you will be home free. So next time you're in a group and you are the tank, or even if you're not a tank, watch and see what the tank does. See if you feel like that tank is doing the right thing. Let them know what the right thing is. Try to help them out and try to do your job. If you're not a tank, you've never had a tank, why don't you roll a tank? See if you can play a tank and see how the tank works for you. Next time we talk, I think I'm going to be going over the healer more specifically since I touched on it here. So you can look for that in the next show. And until then... happy tanking, happy grouping. Okay, now it's time for the RL thought of the week, the real life thought of the week. And this is going to be just a short segment where I talk about things that strike me about this game in real life. The thing is that this game is more than just a game. It's all games. I say life is a game, and I think games are more important in general than people give them credit for. And I've heard people saying this week, I heard some people talking about how important is this game to your life, how much time do you spend in the game. And they said, you know, that World of Warcraft is just a game, and I think people take it too seriously. Well, I disagree. It is a game, but you are spending a lot of time in it. And it's a thing. I mean, of course you're here to have fun, but that doesn't mean you can't take fun seriously. Some people can be serious about fun. I am very serious about my fun, and because it's a part of my life, and especially games like this where you can type in /played and see that you've spent, 3 weeks of your life playing this character, 3 full weeks, not with sleeping, but just 3 full weeks on one character or something like that. Or however much you've played on your character. I just typed in /played on one of my characters is, like I say, not a main, and I played 4 days on this guy. He's a level 30 warrior, and I don't know what kind of smacking I've been doing or messing around I've been doing, but 4 days, and he's only level 30.
just playing around, I guess, messing around and stuff. And I ask myself, how real is this game? How much of your real life is put into this game, and how much of it is just a game? And my real life thought of the week this week is, I was playing in Nomuron. I was in a group in Nomuron, or Nomuragan, or Nomer. I'm going to call it Nomer. And I was in the group, and we were about halfway through, and my wife was done cooking dinner, and she came and she got me, and she was like, "All right, Joey, it's time to come for dinner now. Let's go in the living room and eat with me." And we got some stuff ready. So I was like, "Well, I can't right now, sweetie. I'm in the middle of this run." And she's like, "Well, just pause it." And I've been playing this game for a long time, and my wife knows I can't pause the game, but she asked me to pause it. And I said, "Well, sweetie, I'm in the middle of a run, and I'm with, you know, four other people, and it took us a long time to get these people together, and we're halfway through, and I can't just bail on them." And she says, "Well, it's just a game." "Yeah, well, yeah, it is a game, but these are four other real people. I mean, if it is a game, if it's not just a game, these are real people I'm playing with, and that is real. It is real life for these people. They've been spending real time in this game, and I can't just jack it up. I can't just be like, well, you know, guys, I'm sorry, I give up. Though some people do, I can't stand it. But if you're going to commit to being in a group, then you got to commit to go all the way." And that's my real life thought of the week, is that, is the game real? Well, are you meeting with real people? Are you making real friends? Are you playing in real time? Are you spending real parts of your life in the game? Well, then maybe it's more real than you think it is, and maybe this is going to be an issue later on. And that is my real life thought of the week. Okay, everybody, before we go, I just wanted to throw out a few other podcasts that you should look up if you didn't get what you wanted from my podcast, or you're just looking for other podcasts in general. These are a great podcast. Put them on your iPod, play them on your computer, and let me know what you think. Let them know what you think, and support these podcasts in our World of Warcraft community. The first is Taverncast, which can be found at taverncast.com. It has got great editing, great music. It is a lot of fun. The next is Wowcast, which can be found at wowcast.net. And that is my favorite podcast for what I consider high-end, info from people that are really, really deep into the game. The next podcast that I've got on my list is worldofwarcast.com, a World of Warcast podcast. Warcast is the first podcast that I started listening to, and it just recently started up again. It's a lot of fun. The next podcast is The Instance, which can be found at myextralife.com/wow. And The Instance is another short podcast like this one. Is about half an hour, and they've got a couple of topics they go through every week, and they always hit them. They're organized, and you always know what you're getting, and it's always a lot of good. Another one is World of Podcast, and that is an explicit podcast, and it is a guy that has a different take on the World of Warcraft, but he has also got high-level characters and low-level characters, and he's got a lot of good info. But kiddies beware, it's at worldofpodcast.blogspot.com. Another podcast I listen to is one of the Game Shout Network's podcasts. It's the MMO Show, and that covers lots of the online role-playing games, massive games, and that can be found at it's the MMO Show at gameshout.com. The URL for that is gameshout.com. I also listen to the PC Gamer podcast, which can be found at pcgamer.com. They also have a video cast, and they have started recently the PC Gamer Network, which Taverncast is a part of, and also another great show, which is called The Widget, I believe, which I have also downloaded and listened to a few of, and it seems like it's a lot of fun. So, check all those shows out, enjoy them, and support them, and let's get this community going even stronger, and we are going to take over Russia! I don't know what that was. We're not taking over Russia. I forgot I said that. Okay, so support these podcasts. Listen to these podcasts. Let them know what you think. Let me know what you think. And have a good day. I'm going to let you go with one last thing here, which is a song. Y'all have a good week, and I hope I see you again real soon. Make sure to check out epicguides.net.
I grew up just outside of Stormwind. I was born on a day the fair was in town. My father was gone out on the front lines. My brothers and mother suffered in silence. A priest came in, a guitar in his hands. He said, "This is a present for your son. He's gonna be different. He's gonna be strange." Now I sit all day by this fire, playing for tips at the inn in Goldshire. And heroes they come and heroes they go, but when I ask for an invite they always say no. Because I am a bard and I just play guitar. They see that I won't help them. They see that I'm not helpful. Decided one day that I would show them the magic of music could take down a beast. Deep in a cave I found myself a dragon, and I walked out in the open and started to bleed. That dragon bit off my arm. It was the right arm, and that's the good one. It bit off my right arm, and that's the one I really think I miss the most. And then it went after my leg. Legs. I think it was the left one first, but I'm not sure.